Have you ever used your voice by being silent?
That's so interesting.
Have you ever decided to just stop using your voice to create change?
I think, you know, being the leader in my team, like CEO, part of our culture that we've created is a lot about like a deliberately developmental organization. So everyone is growing and learning. And so part of that sometimes means for me to not jump in. You know, I kind of have this like, oh, I need to save the situation, you know? And sometimes it's like, no, I need to let those mistakes happen and let them come to an understanding on their own, because that's how we learn best, is through mistakes. So sometimes I'm watching it happen. I just want to like dive in there. And it's like, no, just like step back, watch it play out and be there to support. But this needs to be an experience that they go through. So I think in that way, like I just have to like hold my tongue and be silent.
Hello from the Equality Lounge at CES. It's January 2020 and we're on location in sunny Las Vegas with our incredible partner Spotify, capturing the stories of female entrepreneurs, executives, inventors, and change makers. I'm your host for this series, Nell Daly, Chief Content Officer of the Female Quotient, and we're recording straight from the Equality Lounge. For the fourth episode, we interviewed Mara Madeline, who is the CEO of a company called Vector that specializes in VR technology. They are doing such cool work, I was totally blown away. I'll let Mara tell you her story herself, but P.S., the answer that she gave me to my last question, I'm just going to tell you guys, I got the chills.
So my name is Mara Laldeen. I'm the CEO of Vector, and we have created a platform called Perspectives, which is about allowing leaders to stand in someone else's shoes in virtual reality and experience a workplace from a different perspective. So, you know, being here at Female Quotient, I can talk about the gender one, where it allows you to stand in the shoes of a female and to really understand the kind of biases that they face on a daily basis.
And so you use VR technology to show people who, let's say, a man who isn't a woman, what it feels like for her to be in a certain situation?
Sure. Yeah. It's not just seeing it, because you're actually living it. So I was doing organizational behavior before this. And so going into companies and, you know, around strategic inclusion. But I got really frustrated and jaded because I wasn't seeing any behavioral change. Like, all of these companies are doing diversity and inclusion training, but where's the impact? You know, it's like, oh, awareness, but so what? So I just left the space and I was like, I'm done. Like, nothing is changing. And then when I learned about virtual reality about 5 years ago and really like dove into the research of it, you know, looking at like Stanford, Harvard stuff, and I really came to see like, this is the greatest empathy tool that we have at our disposal. And I was like, this is what inclusion needs. This is where people can like really experience it. So that's how we started our company. And the way that we started it was, you know, we didn't get investors. So still 2 years in, we still don't have investors and we don't want them yet, you know? And what we did was we got Procter & Gamble as a client right away, GE as a client right away. And we did enterprise solutions. So like consumer testing, things that we weren't super passionate about, but they paid the bills and we were doing revolutionary work. You know, not a lot of companies were doing that. So consumer testing, sales tools for GE. And then from that money, that's how we created Perspectives, this platform for diversity and inclusion. That's my passion project. And that's what's taken off.
Why do you think it's your passion project? Why were you so called to do this work?
Oh, yeah. I'm still trying to articulate for people what that is. So I grew up in international schools in multiple countries. And I realized I was given such a rare opportunity to be exposed to so many different cultures, peoples, different ways of life, religion, you know. And then coming here and the way that here it's very insular, you know. And I think when we talk about different cultures and just different people, we kind of put this single story on them. Like, it just encompasses all this one story. It's like, no, people have multiple stories, right? And that's how we create stereotypes and stuff, when it's just like one label. And I was like, how can we get people aren't going to have that life that I've had of like in multiple countries. They're not always, they're kind of even now more and more in their bubbles, right? So how do we get them out of that without telling them that they're biased, you know, that's what diversity and inclusion training is right now, telling you that you're biased. But it's like, no, how can I create a story that they can live and come to their own conclusions?
Incredible. Incredible. Tell me, so voices, as we focus on voice, was it hard for you to find your voice?
So I've always been the outspoken kid, you know, if even with my parents, and my dad called me like the advocate or the lawyer, you know, if I felt that my siblings were being treated unfairly, I'd be like, Dad, no, that's wrong. You know, but I think in
terms of... So you always called out on some level injustice that you saw around you.
Totally. I was always... Injustice, like, irks me, like, in my deepest... Like, I have to speak up. I'm not one of those people that can just watch things happen. So I did have that, but I don't think I always had the best way of speaking up about it. And only recently, like, doing this work and, you know, it's really... What you said, like, my mission or my calling, it's really given me this platform now that... I don't even have to speak up about it. I let you experience it, you know? So because, you know, from a neuroscience perspective, when you tell people like, oh, you're biased or like, you know, kind of telling them that they're part of some sort of injustice, right away, like cognitive dissonance starts. And basically they're like, in their brains, whether they want to or not, they're going to start defending. I don't really do that. But last time, you know, I have a friend who's Asian or, you know, they start saying things like that. So by doing this experience, like, I'm bringing scenarios to you that you get to go through and like come up with your own meaning, and then we get to debrief it. But no one's told you anything. You go. So, for example, with one of the leaders, he came out of it, and in the debrief, he was like, "Oh, I do these things as a leader," and I didn't have to say that. Like, how cool is that that he came to that own conclusion?
Right, through his experience.
Through the experience. Yep.
That's amazing. Is it if you could tell your younger self anything about using your voice, what would it be?
I think, you know, part of the reason that we sometimes are afraid of saying things or like using our voices, it's insecurity, right? And I think the first part of getting to that place where, like, it's every day we have to work on it, but it's like self-acceptance. So what that means is when you can be so secure in your strengths, that's awesome. But when you can be so secure in your weaknesses too, even better. Because then you can say, this is where I need help and I know I'm weak on this. And it's okay. Like either you're working on it or you just know like this is something that I need a team member to help me with. And there's strength in that. That vulnerability is such strength. I think when you have that, then you feel comfortable to say basically whatever you need to, even asking questions because you're not embarrassed, you know? I think that gives you power in your voice. Does that make sense?
It totally makes sense. And it's been a common, as I've done these interviews for the last 2 days, it's been a common thread that I've heard, especially entrepreneurial women say, that part of finding my voice was finding out how to use my voice to ask for help.
Interesting.
Because I realized quickly I wasn't going to get anywhere if I decided to do this all on my own. And I think it sort of entrepreneurialism draws a certain type of person and they're very strong, right? There's a strength. You have to have the stomach for it. And with that being said, they're not always the type of people who are going to ask for help, but it's a skill that you learn, and you learn that sometimes you have to let somebody else speak up at the table because that's how innovation is going to happen.
Right. So that humbleness of being like, I don't know everything, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. Like we're only that diversity of thought, bringing those people onto your team, there's only strength in that.
I'm going to give you a sentence and I'm hoping you can finish it for me. Okay, so we'll just try this little game. I use my voice to stand for
justice.
You've been listening to a podcast produced by The Female Quotient and powered by Spotify. For more information on our mission, please visit thefemalequotient.com or follow us on social at Female Quotient, that is FemaleQuotient on Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter. And we also wanted to mention that we're hosting the series on Anchor. It's so cool. Anchor is an amazing free podcast distribution platform. Stay tuned for more equality hacks from the Equality Lounge at CES.